thank you, Deacon, that I believe is very timely. Out of the book of Matthew, chapter 16, I am going to begin to read. I'll set the stage. Jesus asked the disciples, you know, who do men say that I am? And Peter said this, you're the Christ. The word Christ and the word Messiah, Messiah is in the Hebrew, Christ is in the Greek New Testament. It means the anointed one. It means the only one. It means the Savior, the heavyweight champion of the whole universe and all of creation, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven given to men by which they could be saved and delivered and healed. Amen? And when Peter answered such and said, well, you're the Christ. You're the one all of the world has been waiting for. And in verse 17, Jesus says, well, blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but this was revealed to you by my Father. And I want you to know something. Don't just count on your five senses. Don't just count on what you could see, feel, hear, taste, or whatever the fifth one is. See, hear, smell, taste, and feel. You cannot depend on those. If you are, then you're nothing. You're not any better than a coyote or a pigeon. Because see, man is made in the image of God, and animals are not. We are made choice-making. We are made eternal. And we have been made, and this is the essence of what I want to say. We were put here to rule here. I want you to know that Satan, though he is real, he was not put here to rule here. We were. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 18, and I say unto you that you are Peter. That word means rock. And upon this rock, what was the rock? The saying, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to stand against the attack of the church. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. I will give to the church the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I want to say to you that the Lord Jesus doesn't even have the keys to this earth. He gave them to us. Now, I want to say that to you in a way, and I don't want to offend you, but I want to try to help you and encourage you to see things in life maybe a little bit different. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And my thought tonight is we have the keys. And why is this important? Say, I have the keys of the kingdom of God. Say it again. I have the keys of the kingdom of God. Please say it one more time. I have the keys of the kingdom of God. Now, why is this important? It was mentioned by one of our preachers, I think it was in the Sunday morning service, of so many that say, why did the Lord allow this to happen to my family? Why did the Lord allow this to happen to me? Why the Lord allowed this and why the Lord allowed that? But may I just say to you in a kind way, see, people, my people, Jesus said, are destroyed for lack of understanding. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 of what's really happening here. And the truth of the matter is, you've been given the keys. He doesn't have the keys. He didn't allow it. Perhaps we allowed some things to come into our family, to come into our minds. This sure is good preaching for so quietness. To come into our house, to come on our children even. We have allowed it. Now, I don't mean that in a bad way, because one thing I've learned about the kingdom of God and being a Christian is you can crawfish big time in the kingdom of God. You can change your mind and go the right way any way you want to, anytime you want to. I want you to think, I don't want you to raise a hand. Could it be that if this is true, that maybe what we once thought, well, God, why did you let this happen to me? That maybe we let it happen to ourselves? See, it's hard to preach something like this here, because I don't mean to offend. I mean to enlighten and set free. I'll soon be married. 48 years. August the 10th of 2022. I just became married 47 years, Millie and I. And we took it upon ourselves to make our marriage like in the way that Joshua said in Joshua, I think 24, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. 47 years. A guy asked me today from the Social Security, Millie? He said, well, man, I guess you're shooting for that golden 50. I said, man, I'm shooting for higher than that, but yeah, we'll take 50. We'll go by 50. Amen. But it wasn't easy. I have not found marriage to be easy. I find at times it's very hard. See, it's the relationship that God will probably use most in your life on this earth, your spouse. Use that spouse to perfect you, to teach you, to cause you to grow to be a Christian. I'm not saying he won't use others, and I'm not saying that's always the case, but there's something to learn about somebody. Who do you know better than your spouse? You see, the sad thing is, at present, the statistics of the divorce rate is in the world, and the divorce rate in the church is about the same now, because we've lost sight of some things. I'm going to say something two ways. God has joined together, let no man separate. What God has joined together. Come on, help me now. What God put together. Not what you put together. That's what's going to stand. That's what has the best chance of standing. What God has put together. Are you in the job that God gave you? Did you settle for something less, trying to get something more? Are you in relationships that you just know? And I mean friendships. I'm not talking about romantic even. Are you hanging with people that you just know in your heart? I shouldn't be running with people like that. The Bible says, do not be unevenly connected to the people of this world. What God has joined together, what God has ordained in our lives, it's what God put together. We've become so confused, we can't talk about things. We can't talk about things and say that abortion is murder. It's against the law to say that. Can I tell you something? I've got one better than that. If anybody under the sound of my voice has had an abortion, there's a God, his mercies are new every morning. There's a God that will forgive. In our country at present, you can't just say, love is between a man and a woman. You can't say that anymore. You get in trouble. But heaven and earth will pass away. God will never change his mind. Malachi chapter 2, I am the Lord God, and I change not. Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, God's not going to have his change his mind. But me and God are both hoping that we change our mind. Because unless we fashion ourselves after the Lord. How are we going to, if the righteous, the word says, barely escape, what will be the end of the unrighteous? We've got to ask ourselves this. We've got to shake ourselves. I'm not a prophet of doom, but there's some things in this world I think they're going to get worse before they get better. Does anybody have a feeling like that? Maybe. Amen. You know what we've got to do? We've got to be prepared as believers. We have to be willing to receive a message like this where God is trying to help us, not trying to point fingers, not trying to make us feel bad, but heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. I'm giving you the keys. Now, at the end of the book of Matthew, I believe chapter 28, Jesus said, now I want everybody to know he's been resurrected. I want everybody to know I've got all the power that there is on heaven and earth. I've got all the power that there is. So, and like I told you, now I'm giving it to you and I'm going away. So go and make disciples of everywhere, of everybody, teaching them to observe all things. He that believes and is baptized will be saved, etc. And as we look in the Word, I think you should see this. You know, it makes me feel good that if something's trying to come and hurt me or mine, that I have the ability to fight back and win. Does that help anybody else? Now, since the beginning, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, the Word says this here. God said to his Son and to his Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let man have dominion over the whole earth. Now, you just get to Genesis chapter 2, and Adam is starting to exercise that authority. God brings all the animals to Adam in Genesis 5 and says, Adam, what are these going to be called? Well, that one's a pig. That one's a hog. That one's a bird. That one's a whale. And whatever Adam spoke, that's what it was. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam names his wife Eve, okay? Adam did, not God. See, in Genesis chapter 2, Adam says, this is now mine, bone of my flesh, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. For this cause shall a man, this is Adam talking, leave his mother and shall be joined to his wife. And the two will become one. Those are all the words of Adam. Now, Adam and Eve were left in the garden, the King James says, to dress it and keep it. That means to garden it and guard it, protect it. And what was supposed to happen, this is what happens, and I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this the next time I'm asking you, no, God is, take the keys that you've got and do something about it. Because he don't have the keys, we do. Does that make sense? So we've got, you only go to Genesis chapter 4, and the first murder is committed. A brother kills a brother. And Adam and Eve, they, in Genesis chapter 3, they were already cast out of the Garden of Eden. That test had to be broadened to the earth, the whole earth, where mankind began to flourish, be fruitful, and multiply. But Jesus, we go to the book of Luke, tells his disciples, and at one point, 70 of his disciples, he sent them out into all the world. Did you know that you've been sent into the world? You know that what the sign is? The final sign that Jesus is coming back? The word says this, this gospel shall be preached all over the world. Then the end will come. Then. So the word says, work while it's day, for nighttime comes when no man can work. So we need to work. We need to be doing what we do. We need to continue to, we need to be feeding 350 people. We need to be doing everything we can to encourage people. Come to the house of God. We'll just love you. We don't really want anything out of you but to love you. And I think something that you really need to know, and I'm going to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 in the Living Translation. I want to explain what the problem is. The problem is we don't see the enemy in the natural, because he really can't be seen in the natural. The enemy is in the spirit world around us. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 of the Living Bible, the word says this, for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood. That person that you don't like, really not your enemy. There's a force behind things that are happening in this world. But our battle is against persons without bodies. That's what a spirit is, a disembodied spirit. Doesn't have a body. It is in the invisible spirit world all around us, where the angels are, the good guys and the bad guys. And they enter into our thought life at times, and we begin to think things that are not pleasant and not good. But our enemy is against persons without bodies. Now let me say this to you. Romans 12:21 says this, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. But there, evil is not a noun. Evil is a whole community of demons. Overcome evil with good. Evil is spirits. In the book of Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, the word talks, and I was talking with somebody today, and this is a growing problem right now. The word says this, that the Lord has given the, do you have Isaiah 61? Put Isaiah 61 up there, brothers, 1 through 3, in the King James language. And that's not happening very fast. Let me see if I can get it right here. Isaiah chapter 61. I want you to see this, and I want to say to you that evil is a person. Verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, and to comfort everybody that mourns, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, to give unto them the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Everybody say the spirit of heaviness. Right there, that's talking about depression. And that's what's on mankind where I'm at right now. People are depressed. They're full of anxiety. And depression is a person. Evil is not something. Evil is someone. And the way that you fight it is in the morning, you say, I'm here this morning. My record is clean with God. He loves me. His mercies are new every morning. And by the way, Mr. Devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And I take authority and command you, spirit of depression, come off of me and do it right now in the name of Jesus. And stand firm with that. It's the same when I pray over somebody else that's depressed. I have to rebuke that. I have to captivate that spirit and make it do what I want it to do. Why? Because Jesus doesn't have the keys. I hate to tell you this. This might sound a little flaky, but I've got them. And so do you. You have the keys over your children, especially while they're in your house, of what happens to them, what they do. I don't care what the state says. How about this one? In the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us, anybody know? The spirit of fear. See, fear is a person. We have to understand it that way. There are legions of fear spirits. Perversion spirits. Hate spirits. Depression spirits. And if you see your child, I can remember one time when my beautiful daughter was very little and we were having problems in the church and it came into my home. You remember this, Millie? And we brought her up to the front of the church. We're on the square. And we rebuked the devil. Do you remember that, Brenda? We rebuked the devil off of her. Why? She was just a baby. Let me tell you, the devil likes to attack children and hurt children. And we're their guardians. Just as Adam and Eve were the guardians of Eden, we are the guardians over our family, over our churches, over our schools, over Logan County, over Arkansas. It belongs to us. It doesn't belong to the devil. But God's looking for some enforcers. And they don't have to be a big, handsome, mafia-looking guy like me. They could be a little girl if she knows how to pray. Amen? I remember one time, a long time ago, we went to your house and we got some groceries over to you. We were leaving. Kelly was in the back seat, and she was raised in the country. And we're trying to leave, and it was getting dark out, and I was backing up. I said, Kelly, tell Dad when we get to the curb. She says, okay, Dad. Dad, what's a curb? I'll tell you, I've enjoyed raising my kids. I've raised 5 kids. I love every one of them. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed them. I love them. I love them. I don't love them because they always do, right? I love them because they're mine and the Lord gave me over them. Now, was this hard? Was this palatable to you for me to bring this up to you? That you have to understand, them keys, Miss Mary, you got keys in that purse? You got other keys. But you have the keys to the... I don't care that you're a woman. I don't care that you're a senior. You have authority over the devil. The word says in 1 John, greater is he that's in Mary McFarland than he that's in the world. She's full of the Holy Ghost. She prays in tongues. I want you to hear me, church. I want you to get serious about taking authority and don't even entertain the idea of being sore at God or saying, God, why did you allow this to me? But say to yourself, Lord, teach me how to use the keys to the kingdom for my house. Let's make an altar. Let's pray and take communion. And if that's palatable to you, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you and teach you how to use the keys to the kingdom and how to prosper.